The New Testament Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. The structure of this epistle, thankful prayer, Paul's missionary report, God's call to be holy, doctrinal polemics, and joyful partnership. The outline for this session is as follows. Under joyful partnerships, last time we saw God's spiritual provision, this time God's material provision, meeting workers' needs through givers' gifts to God's glory. Verse 10, the Lord causes me to rejoice greatly that you now have already revived your concern for me. Although you were concerned for me, you had no opportunity to send help for me. Rejoice is a timeless form of the verb. Concern was literally thinking about how to meet needs. And the opportunity was to send someone with help until Epaphroditus was ready to go. Needy Christians can remain content. Verse 11, I do not talk about my needs, for I have learned to be content regardless. I know how to survive, and I know how to thrive. Well, everyone has an hierarchy of needs. When he says survive, he means whilst poor, and to thrive while prospering. A contented Christian can do both. Those who serve Jesus Christ in another place always have a number of needs. These include transport, lodging, food and drink, clothing, tools and materials, health and medical care, taxes and fees to pay, Bibles and books, sometimes helpers either in home or in the work, and to do works of mercy for the needy. Today, there is an increasing number of missionaries who are self-supporting, applying low-cost, reproducible methods, as Paul did. Now, if you serve with a mission organization, there are further requirements. These include administrative fees, your salary and pension, usually a vehicle and a home, provisions for retirement, various kinds of insurances, both health and liability, and your children's education. The organization may require you to raise funds for your Bibles and books, for your furloughs, and various works of mercy, as well as field-wide projects and any institutions you establish, such as schools, hospitals, training centers, and worker subsidies to pay those who help you. Even so, the needy must learn to remain strong. In everything, I have learned the secret both to be filled and to go hungry, both to abound and to be in need. I am able to do all this by Messiah, who strengthens me. The term secret in Greek was often used for those who initiated into a secret society. For Paul, it was how to be content. He is able to do this because of inner strength. And from whence cometh that inner strength? Through an outer source, the dunamis, the power of Jesus Christ, who lives in us. Givers, for their part, enjoy sharing their resources with others. Verse 14, still you did well by sharing with me in my trouble. And you Philippians know that when I first left Macedonia to spread the good news, you were the only church that shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. This came from the church and is described further in 2 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9. Look it up. And who is receiving and from whom? Paul from the Philippians from the Lord. Givers try to meet needs, real needs. Verse 16, you also know that while I was in Thessalonica, you sent help once and twice to meet my needs. I am not hoping for another gift for you. but to gather more fruit for your account. The gift. Paul was willing to work for free, did not expect a salary, often supporting himself, which he could not do whilst in prison. With adequate support, most workers can accomplish more than whilst supporting themselves. Nevertheless, Paul's point is that the Philippians will be rewarded by the Lord not only for their gift, but for the fruit that Paul will bear, that is, families brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to their account, meaning they share in everlasting rewards. Receivers ought to reply to the givers. Verse 18, I have received the full sum, and my needs are more than met. I have all that I need, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. This is Paul's receipt to the Philippians. Their gift was acceptable to God. That is, it's ritually clean and pleasing. They went beyond the minimum. God enjoys giving to us so that we might enjoy giving to others. Now, how were funds transferred from Philippi to Rome? Well, by means of a permutatio. This is a written document from a bank in one city carried by an individual to a bank in another city. Here's what it might have said. From Lucius Argentarius, banker in Philippi, to Gaius Numeralius, banker in Rome, greetings. On the calends of April, in the consulship of Titus Flavius and Marcus Aurelius, I have received from Epaphroditus Philippius the sum of 1,000 denarii. Pay to Epaphroditus Philippius the said sum of 1,000 denarii, less the customary fee of 2% upon presentation of this letter in Rome, signed and sealed by Lucius Argentarius, witnessed by Quintus Fabius. The process was something like this. The church gives money for Paul. The church deposits this in a bank at Philippi. The bank then writes a permutatio. The church then sends Epaphroditus to Rome. Epaphroditus carries the permutatio to a bank in Rome, which pays the sum to Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus then delivers this to Paul, and Paul writes his thanks to the church in Philippi. Now, when you do receive from your giver, try to bless them in return. Verse 19, and my God will supply your every need from his amazing riches, because you belong to Messiah Jesus. And we shall be amazed at God our Father forever and ever. Amen. My God, that is, the one to whom I pray on your behalf, and amazing, we shall dwell in everlasting glory near God in fellowship with Jesus Christ and one another. We shall be amazed at him, enjoying him more than we did on earth. The term in glory occurs several times in the New Testament. Moses and Elijah appeared in glory with Jesus atop Mount Hermon. Paul said, our body is sown, it dies in dishonor, but will be raised in glory. Our ministry of righteousness exceeds in glory that of condemnation. When Christ appears, you also will appear with him in glory. He himself came in the flesh and was taken up into glory, the very presence of God. And of course, we should greet one another. 21. Greet every one of Messiah Jesus' holy people. The Christians who are here with me greet you. All the holy people here greet you, especially those who work in Caesar's household. Greetings are signs of affection and of respect. Remember, to be holy means you belong exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought you at the price of his own blood. Then bless each other. 23. I pray that the Lord Messiah, Jesus, give you grace by the Spirit who dwells among you. Amen. Grace, remember, is the powerful love of God that changes us. Spirit here could mean each one's spirit or attitude, but likely refers to the Spirit of God who dwells among us and in us.